pray. Heavenly Father, I feel so inadequate and unworthy to speak the truth about you and about your Son. But here I stand today, knowing that I'm only your messenger. And it's your Holy Spirit who will speak. So Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak into the hearts of everyone who listens today. So that even though I may speak something inaccurate or even wrong, that your Holy Spirit will convey the truth, and the truth will change every one of us who listens. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning. My name is James. I'm a deacon of the church. I am not a pastor of the church. Our pastor is on leave today. Normally, our pastor can speak much clearer message. So if you found the message today difficult to understand, it's not a normal way that you will hear the message here at this church. So today we are going to talk about what is truth. And by looking at the title of the sermon, you probably will understand it's going to be a difficult topic. So we are going to seek answers to the following two questions. What is truth? And why does truth matter? The first question was actually also asked by Pilate when Jesus said that he was born and came into the world to bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth listens to his voice. So what is truth? Jesus answers in John 14:6 that he is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is saying that everyone will perish unless they accept him as their Savior, as no one can go to the Father, to God the Father, except through Jesus. Here, going to God the Father means that having eternal fellowship with God. In contrast, not being able to go to the God the Father means eternal separation from God, or in other words, eternal condemnation in hell. And everyone needs Jesus as their Savior because everyone has sinned and stands condemned before God. So that's why Jesus is saying, he is the way and the truth and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through Jesus. This is also what Jesus meant when he told Pilate that he was born and came into the world to bear witness to the truth about himself being the only Savior of the world, and whoever listens to his voice will be saved. Now, regarding the second question, why does truth matter? Jesus answers in John 8:31 and 32, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." He also says in John 8:36, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So why is that that we are not free? What Jesus is saying is, we are all in slavery of sin and stand condemned before the just God. But if we know the truth and abide in the truth will set us free from slavery of sin and unite us to God. Therefore, truth matters to each one of us because it is about life and death. Now, to us who are Christians here, you may be thinking, that's just the gospel. Yeah, that's just the gospel. But I still want you to think deeply why the book of John repeatedly emphasizes that Jesus is the truth. He came to bear witness to the truth, and the word of God is truth. The word truth appears 23 times in the Gospel of John alone. So maybe we haven't come to know the truth as we ought to know. So, and therefore, we should keep learning the truth, that is, studying the word of God diligently and abide in the truth or abide in the word of God, as Jesus tells us to do. And Brakir just showed us the plan. There are two plans, Bible reading plans. I think we should all seriously think about, you know, picking one of the plans and follow and read the word of God regularly. Now, to those who are not Christians, all I have just elaborated about the truth and why it matters may sound to be irrelevant to you. So therefore, I would like to look at these two questions again by reasoning that doesn't directly start from the Bible. And actually, also to Christians here, as most of you are, I think this kind of reasoning will also deepen your understanding about God. After all, I mean, if the God of the Bible is true, He is a true God, then we should be able to reason about Him and get to know Him more, even just apart from the Bible. So let's go. First, what is truth really? Can we define truth? I've looked at the meaning and the definition of thing in different dictionaries and other sources. And in the end, I found ChatGPT and also the large language model provided by Google gives the best definition of truth. And I tried to modify their definitions a bit to give a definition of truth as follows. Truth is what corresponds to reality or fact. A statement is true if it aligns with the way the world or the universe or whatever that exists actually is. For example, this statement, this room now has more than 20 people, is true. It is also true that humans and animals are different, although they share a lot of similarities. The statement, according to the Bible, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only and one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life, is also a true statement. Well, of course, not everyone believes in the Bible. But this statement itself does tell what the Bible says in John 3:16. So the statement in itself is a true statement. Now, if we change the statement a bit by removing this phrase in the form according to the Bible, and now it simply states that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Does this statement still tell the truth? Now, to Christians, of course, no, this is the truth. But to others, well, this is just a belief accepted by Christians, and they may not think this is the truth, or at least they are not sure whether this is the truth. However, I would like to emphasize one thing. If this statement is true, actually it doesn't matter what you or I believe or think, whether it's true or not. Because whatever we think or believe doesn't really change the truth itself. That means if this is a true statement, if this is truth, and if you do not believe it, then you are in big trouble. Because this statement actually also implies that everyone is a sinner, and every sinner who does not accept Jesus as their Savior will perish forever. Because a just God demands punishment of sin. By the way, regarding what the Bible teaches, regardless of what the Bible teaches, I think the statement, everyone is a sinner, is a true statement. Simply because there's no one who does not sin. And I also just mentioned a just God demands punishment of sin. And I think this statement is also a true statement. Because by the definition of just or justice, this statement is true. Because if a just God does not punish sin, then he is simply not just. Right? So the statement itself, regardless of what the Bible teaches, these two statements are also true. Okay, so now we have that defined truth. But why is truth important to me? Why is it important to us? Why does truth matter to me? Well, by the definition of truth, truth should matter to every one of us because truth is the way everything actually is. Truth is about what reality and facts about things are. Now, to give you a simple example why truth matters to us, to every each one of us. Let's say the truth about fire. If we consider the truth about fire is not important, it doesn't matter to us, then what is the consequence? You will get burned, right? So you can list many, many other examples why truth matters. Because it's basically, it tells how this world works. And how, if you don't follow the, you know, how the world works, then you will simply be condemned. So, for example, if you do not believe the truth that if you walk into the road when a car is coming, then you get eliminated, right? So, you cannot ignore truth. Truth matters to us. And knowing the truth about the world helps us make correct choices and create things to function properly. But I want to go deeper about truth so that I may try to establish the connection between truth in this world, in this nature that we see, and the truth about Jesus of the Bible. So let's consider our previous statement. A just God demands punishment of sin. So let's consider this statement. We will consider both the truth about God and the truth about justice. And then we try to see how we connect things together. First, what is truth about God? Apparently, it's very hard to convince someone that God is it. But we can try anyways. First, if I want to argue if anything exists at all, there must be an eternally self-existing being. Why is that so? Because we can search the truth about how did that thing exist, come into existence in the first place. So whatever that exists, let's say this laser pointer, how did it come into existence? So we can go back, you know, all the way back, okay, someone else created that, right? But then the material, how did all this material come into existence? So if you trace all the way back, you keep asking this question, there are only possible ways. First, this thing that exists, it was created by something else, or evolved from something else. Or second, it is self-existing eternally. Now, if we consider the first way, like just as the example of a laser pointer, and then you choose or ask the question, and normally you go for the first way, and then you keep asking, you know, who created this, and then in the end, you will actually, eventually, you will get an answer by the second way. There's something that is self-existing eternally. So now the question is, why is that eternal? What is that self What is that self-existing eternal being? Is it something similar to, is it a physical, a physically existing being, a purely physically existing being that is not an intelligent and not a living being? Or it's something like similar to the matter at the point of singularity in the just before the Big Bang, in the Big Bang theory. Is it something like that? But from our observation, and in a Big Bang, by the way, the Big Bang theory is a theory. You know the definition of theory, yeah. So I'm not saying Big Bang is the truth, okay? Anyway, from our observation and investigation of things that exist in our universe or our world, it is clear to me, at least, I think it should be clear to all of us, things in this universe are not chaotic or random, right? But rather, we have seen intricate and beautiful patterns, whether in our world or in the whole universe. It's almost like there's a great designer who designed and created the whole universe. You see all these beautiful patterns. Not only so, when we consider non-physical things, for example, mathematics, we also see very beautiful patterns and elegance in many mathematical expressions. And sometimes these mathematical expressions describe the beauty and designs of our nature, like things in the nature. But other times, they also just display the beauty and intricacy of math itself. And know that humans do not create math. We don't create math. We only discover what already exists there in math. So the question is, who created math? How did math came into existence? Does math exist in that eternally self-existing being itself? So this means that we can conclude that this eternally self-existing being from which our universe came into existence actually demonstrates the ability to design and create things with great beauty and to regulate the universe and the world with patterns rather than leaving them in a random and chaotic state. So now that's essentially saying the eternally self-existing being is also an intelligent being with the ability and power to design and create a beautiful universe. Now, we are, listen carefully, we are just saying there's an eternal self-existing being, and this being is also intelligent, and he has the ability and power to create our beautiful universe. So if this is not God who creates all things, what is your definition of God? I think it's the simple definition of God. Yeah. Next, let's also consider what is the truth about justice, as in this statement, a just God demands punishment of sin. But first, it seems that there's no implication that God must be just, right? At least from our analysis before, we didn't have the conclusion that God must be just. But I think there are actually, we do have implications. First, the universe and our world are well regulated by all kinds of physical laws and designs. And such regulations themselves mean orders are being maintained in the universe and in our world, right? Well, of course, justice specifically refers to human beings ensuring individuals receive what they are due, hence maintaining the order of a society. But if the universe is well regulated by God's design, so that orders in the universe are being maintained, why would God leave justice not maintained in this world, in our society, right? So I think there's an implication about God is also a just God. However, in this world, do we see justice? Well, at least we do not see, we see partial justice, but we do not see absolute justice, because many people did get away with, you know, the crimes they had committed. So it's easy to think that the truth about justice is that there is no absolute justice, and justice maybe is just man created to maintain the order of their society, and often, you know, the system has been abused by a small group of the powerful and rich, yeah, unfortunately. But the question is, now, if there is no absolute justice, in fact, it's really okay to do whatever bad things you want to do to make yourself happy, as long as you can get away with it in this life. Because there's no absolute justice anyways, right? You just do things to make yourself happy. And in fact, if you go think deeper, then right and wrong doesn't really matter too. Yeah. So if you, but you may argue, like someone may argue in the, even if there's no absolute justice, there's still right and wrong, and we should do the right things. And because we will feel bad when we do the wrong things. But why should we do the right things? And why should we feel bad when we do the wrong things if there's no absolute justice? For the good of our society, as many of us may argue. But how do you know mass killings or genocides are not for the good of our society? How do you know? I mean, in fact, there are people who did claim in the past that these crimes will mean to create a better world in the long term, right? How do we know? We don't know if there's no absolute justice. But if there's absolute justice, then it becomes meaningful and in fact essential for us all to do the right things. Because ultimately, justice requires that anyone who does wrong will need to pay for the price of the wrongs they have done. So if there's absolute justice, everything becomes meaningful and essential for us to do the right things. Yeah. But how to maintain absolute justice? Who's going to maintain it? First, since we do not see absolute justice in this life, it means that absolute justice will need to be held in the afterlife, right? This alone suggests that this person who maintains absolute justice is a deity. Second, the person who maintains absolute justice must be all-knowing. Yeah, all-knowing or omniscient. Why? Because otherwise he may miss some critical information to make the right judgment, right? And he must also be all-powerful, because otherwise he may lack power to execute justice. He might need to be omnipresent as well, because otherwise there might be a place that he cannot go and to execute justice. And he must be all-sufficient or self-sufficient, otherwise he may be bribed. And he must be just himself, otherwise he might make an unjust judgment. He should also be unchangeable or immutable, otherwise he might change at some point and lose one or more of the above attributes necessary to maintain absolute justice. Now, what does this list of attributes tell us about the person who maintains absolute justice? These attributes are basically the definition of God. Any person who possesses all these attributes is simply God. And these attributes, coincidentally, are also the attributes of God listed in the Bible. Well, in fact, I do not think this is a coincidence, but rather the truth that the God of the Bible is the true God. But unfortunately, this list of attributes of God as the one who maintains absolute justice is actually very bad news to us, to all of us. Why? Because both of these statements are true, meaning that we will all be punished. It means just a just God, he has all the power to punish you, and you cannot escape punishment. All your sins will be uncovered. You cannot escape. There's no way for you to escape. So it's purely bad news to us, and because no one who does nothing, right? So, and I wouldn't think that the punishment alights, considering how many things that we will commit in our lifetime. For example, how many lies that we have told and will continue to tell. And not to mention the evil thoughts and sinful thoughts that we have in our minds, right? And also the fact that God is an absolutely just and holy God. And so how far we have fallen short of his standard. So indeed, if that's the truth about God, I'd rather not believe the truth, because there's simply no hope. Well, of course, what I believe still doesn't change the fact, doesn't change the truth, and eventually I will still have to face the truth. But at least in this life, I might just choose to live in illusion. But ultimately, but fortunately, this list of attributes on this side are not everything about God. It's not the only attributes of God. From the Bible, we also see there are other attributes of God. So for example, the Bible tells us God is merciful, gracious, loving, good, and faithful. Now with these attributes, the nice attributes we really like, right? And we have hope, because the merciful and gracious and loving and good and faithful God offers a solution, which is the gospel of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the gospel of Jesus. That a sinless person, namely Jesus, who died in our place for our sins, and God, the judge, accepts this as the judgment and payment for our sins. Therefore, when we believe that Jesus died for our sins and follow him as a Lord and Savior, we shall not perish, but will have eternal fellowship with God the Father and Jesus. And this is also the central message of the whole Bible. And the way the book of John conveys this message is to repeatedly emphasize that this is truth. The word truth appears 23 times in the Gospel of John alone. So let's see some of them. John 1:17 says, "The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." John 5:33 says that John the Baptist was sent to bear truth to the truth, that is the coming of Jesus as our Savior. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In John 14, it says, Jesus actually said that He is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. In John 15, 26 and 16, 13, Jesus promised His disciples that He will send the Spirit of Truth from the Father to bear witness about Himself. And the Spirit of Truth will guide them into all the truth about Himself. In John 18, 37 to 38, Jesus told Pilate that He was born and came into the world to bear witness to the truth about Himself as the Savior of the world. And everyone who is of the truth listens to His voice and will be saved. Unfortunately, Pilate did not listen, but questioned Him, "What is truth?" Pilate was already lost. But you and I, and all of us here who are here today, still have a chance to receive the truth about Jesus, that He is God the Son, and He came into the world to die for our sins, and to believe Him as our Savior and Lord of our life. This is truth, and the truth will set us free from slavery of sin in this world. I wish I would have the time to also go deeper about the truth about sin. Because if you know the truth about sin, you will actually find that there's really no solution offered in any other religion or anywhere else. And so there's no hope except through Jesus. He is the only way and the truth and the life. Yeah, but today's message is already pretty dense and not so easy to understand. So let me summarize. First, truth is this, and whether you believe it or not, does not change the truth itself. So seek truth. Second, truth matters to all of us, and it matters life and death. So seek truth. Third, and finally, even if you cannot accept the truth of Jesus yet, still seek truth. And if you keep seeking, you will find truth eventually. As our custom, we usually pray in small groups on the fourth Sunday. I think it's this Sunday, in small groups. So today, let's pray in small groups. You can pray just with the people around you. And if you are not a Christian, you may just, sit by yourself for a few minutes, and maybe you can think about, the meaning of life, the truth about life, and if you are interested to talk to me or to any of us, please stay behind and talk to us. And so others, we may pray about for ourselves, that we should get to know the truth deeper, and we should plan up seriously about, our Bible reading plan in the coming new year. And then also pray for those who are around us, who have not believed in, who have not got to know Jesus, and that they will know the truth, and they will seek the truth, and they will come to know the truth. So let's, group together in small groups, and we can pray for a few minutes, and then I will close.